This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. Five Reasons I Hate You, Mets edition. Football season staple rises up from the ashes in baseball season. You got it? You're going to be able to collect yourself, my friend?
Yeah, I was laughing at I sent you a commercial of the Icky Shuffle. Yeah. Icky Woods doing a shuffle in the supermarket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because cool. A lot of kids that do the Icky Shuffle drill on the agility ladder, they don't realize that it's named after Icky Woods, the 1980s Woods. Running back.
That's
so
right.
We need to educate the youth.
That's it, man.
Go ahead and Google Icky Woods Shuffle.
That's it.
And then watch, yeah.
All right, here we go. Five Reasons I Hate You, Mets edition, and I crowdsourced this a little bit. Crowdsourced it, Seth sourced it, Sean sourced it. That's what this list is. Got a lot of people texting in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer, with this one. Number five.
Oh.
The Carlos Beltran signing after the 2004 season. You were actually here in Houston. I wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
That's in my that's plunked down in my somewhat Houston blind spot because I was gone from 01 to 07. So I didn't feel the hyper emotion of talking about it every day on the radio. But man, the Astro fans I talked to, you can see the reaction to Beltran for years and years after. Astro fans booed Carlos Beltran up until the day they signed Carlos Beltran in 2017.
Yeah, and then nobody followed my advice that we should just keep booing him because he'd performed pretty well when getting booed.
That's true.
Like Jose Altuve getting performed well when he gets booed in New York.
And as it turned out, we should have booed him because he was the mastermind behind the trash can thing. Like he was.
But I still couldn't do that because he provided a lot of veteran leadership in other regards too, outside of just the trash can banging.
Yeah, that's true.
It was part of those championships. So,
but we hate him. We hate him for.
But we hate him now.
We hate him now. And we hate him for stringing the Astros out back in 2004 and making it feel like they had a chance to keep him.
And specifically because of the Mets dynamic, since the Astros play the Mets. And Beltran, it wasn't that he left in free agency because they traded for him. He didn't have any loyalty. He Kyle Tuckered his way into town.
Yeah, it's
and,
true.
And the Astros did what the Cubs hoped to do, is make a run with that guy.
Yeah.
But then he just strung them along to the point where they didn't, you know, they withheld other decisions because of him.
Yeah,
then he skipped town.
Yep. And then responded by making the World Series next year, you a-holes up there in New York. Take that. All right, number four, Juan Soto is on this team.
Mm.
Juan Soto, richest deal in sports history. I had no idea that he had these extra accoutrements in his contract, Seth.
Luxury suites at home games, other premium seats. His number 22 uniform was part of the contract. He did end up giving the previous 22
Beatty.
Holder.
Yeah, Beatty.
He gave him an SUV.
Yeah.
That kid's going to have to pay taxes on.
Yeah,
thanks
right.
a lot, pal.
And upkeep and everything else.
Yeah, thanks for making it public on social media and everything.
Well, if I know anything, I know that people in New York love to have a car that they can drive around all the time.
But yeah, a huge, gigantic SUV.
They love to drive around New York in their gigantic SUVs.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, it's like having a gigantic SUV in Rice Village.
Yeah.
like a freaking dad.
Right. Exactly. But Soto said, quote, when a player goes to free agency, he's allowed to ask for anything. So I asked, and they gave me everything I wanted. It was a big part of it. Anything I wanted in my contract, opt-outs, season tickets, I got it. Boy, what shrewd negotiators these Mets are, huh?
Yeah.
Here you go. You want that? Sure.
Wow, this offer already blows everybody else out of the water. But do you mind if I tack 10 more things onto this?
Yeah. Hey, Steve Cohen, what's your wife up to, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, number three, Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets.
Right.
Who is completely created... Along with the Dodgers, I would say. The Dodgers have all of a sudden gotten it in this Mets swimming pool of who cares how much we spend. Luxury tax, what? Don't know what that is. I was told by, it was funny, back when Verlander was thinking of going to the Mets, I had bumped into and had an encounter with some people close to that situation with the Astros. Yeah. And it was made very clear that Jim Crane, along with others around baseball, Jim Crane was far from alone in this, viewed it as there is the market and then there's the Mets, and this operate on their own. Yeah. They're on their own planet when it comes to this stuff.
Well, he's operating like he's a Russian oligarch or something. Like he's trying to broker off his way into glory. And it's annoying because he's just got unlimited funds and who knows how he procured them.
Yeah.
He's in the hedge fund industry, is he not?
Which is
basically the legalized Ponzi scheme industry.
That's right.
And whichever loopholes he's exploited, whichever people's futures he's destroyed to just do whatever it takes to become a mega billionaire, then good on you. Good on you, Stephen Cohen. Let's see how it plays out.
The most legitimate business in the world, in my mind, the logistics business.
Yes.
The logistics business is
a man, Jim
Americana.
Crane.
Yeah.
He takes products and he delivers them to people who need those products delivered, damn it.
On time.
Yes.
On time.
In the tradition of the Pony Express, Transcontinental Railroad, minus some of the exploitation of labor and whatnot. A man that's gotten his hands dirty, he'll roll up his sleeves and earn his money.
That's right.
Instead of bilking people with financial intricacies that nobody can understand.
Well put.
Damn it.
Yep, well put.
Yeah.
I can't put it any better than that. All right, so that's number three. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. There's the market and then there's the Mets. I'll never forget that. Number two. All right, this is the audio I somewhat teased. Back in the day, back in about 2015 or 2016, there was a teenager, maybe preteen, about 11 or 12 years old, Mets fan, who I believe lived up in Dallas. And you can tell from his accent, as you're about to hear, Southern accent. But the kid went by Mets Maniac.
Yeah.
And boy, this kid would go insane on the regular on the internet. He had a YouTube channel. And you're going to listen. Ben, I apologize for all the heavy labor and bleeping here. It's only 20 seconds of audio. How many bleeps in 20 seconds, Ben? Had to be 7 or 8, right?
Something like that.
It's a crazy number. But this kid would, and this is back when the Mets weren't very good and Terry Collins was their manager. This kid would daily go on Instagram and go on the internet and just go off on the Mets. And we would play it on the Triple Threat and Ted Johnson would get so uncomfortable with us playing this. I have no idea. It takes a lot to make Ted Johnson uncomfortable about anything.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Ted Johnson was just really uncomfortable with us playing audio like this on the show.
Fire this man! Terry f***ing Collins! Just want to smash the f*** out of you! Give me something. Choked up with you, Terry! F***ing idiot! You not know how to manage the team? This team is so god bad! F***ing Robles! You too! F*** out of New York! Go somewhere else, Robles. Go chew some more tobacco. Go f***ing wander eBay. I don't give a s***.
Okay, that was... I didn't count. That had to be 10 bleeps right there. It was 25 seconds of audio.
What years was this?
Mets Maniac. This is back like in like 2016, 2017 maybe.
His last post was in 2017.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
he might be an adult by now, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's probably like a junior in college or something like that.
This guy's got to be out there just with a different different social media accounts somewhere. I'd like to follow up because, I mean, this was this kid presumably not drunk. I need to see drunk and angry Mets maniac. Maybe he was drunk. Maybe that's why Ted wasn't comfortable with it. He was like, ah, they're just obviously this kid's had half a fifth of whiskey.
You know who you know who actually interacted with him on social media when he saw him? And this is how he wound up on our radar. Lance McCullers. The kid did a shout-out video to Lance McCullers.
Really?
I have to go find that. He's like, shout-out to my boy Lance.
I wonder if Ted was uncomfortable for it because it was just because it was everything that can be bad about social media is like, all right, you've got a kid who's a minor.
I think Ted,
like putting the worst possible behavior out there that at some point might come back to bite him in the future.
Ted's kids were about that age at the time too, you know, and so maybe, who knows that that was, but for whatever reason, Ted was uncomfortable. All right, the last one, and I want to make sure I respect longtime Houstonians with this one. Five Reasons I Hate You, Mets edition. The 1986 Mets, who I didn't live in Houston at the time, but I can go along with the hate because we know they knocked out the Astros in the NLCS in one of the most memorable league championship series of all time. It was it was incredible. And then they won the World Series against a team I rooted for at the time, living up in New England, the Boston Red Sox. We all remember this.
5-5 in a delirious 10th inning. Can you believe this ball game at Shea?
Oh, brother.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the back. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Now, it would be one thing if these improbable wins in the LCS and the World Series, you know, the against teams that I root for and our audience roots for, it'd be one thing if it was a likable team.
Yeah.
This was a bunch of drug heads and perverts and Lenny Dykstra. There was nothing likable about this Mets team. Like
Lenny Dykstra gets his own category.
He does, because he's all of them. Does. He's all of them. Yeah. I mean, what a... And that's the last time they won a World Series. We would be going back to 1969 if it weren't for that team. Yeah.
Was Lenny Dykstra's reputation like that while he was a player, or was it all stuff that just happened when he was done and social media kind of blew everything
up? His reputation went from, you know, like 4 to 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 after he retired. Because he got into some shady business stuff.
Right, right,
He's just a bad dude. He's a bad dude. I think he was viewed more as a player. I think he was definitely viewed as being super gritty. I mean, his name was Nails, his nickname. He always had the tobacco in his mouth. Like, I think he was, if you didn't know
just
anything.
Just an old school ball player.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. He was probably, you know what, Seth? Probably very swarmy, I would imagine, as a baseball player. But we learned
he was,
later.
He's willing to do anything to benefit himself and his team.
Yeah.
Including using steroids and blackmailing umpires.
That was
the part that came out afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Not a good guy. All right. So there
That's from his autobiography, everybody. That's not from, that's not just a. It was when he started dishing on stuff and talking about some of the stuff that he would do. That was when the reputation took a downturn.
Yeah, I'm not going to ignore the fact that if Lenny Dykstra does an interview, I will listen to that interview because you don't know what the dude's going to say. He's wild. One from the text page here. I hate that the Mets are so dumb that they gave a contract that makes them pay a guy for 25 years plus interest, and now he's recognized, and now he has a recognized day because of your incompetence. That's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
The day Bobby Bonilla did a contract with the Mets where he got a lot of money up front, but he chose to get paid like a million and change every, it's like July 1st or something like that, every year.
It was deferred compensation, but a good chunk of like really, to the point where it was, remember the Mets owners were going through bankruptcy, and one of the big hang-ups was the fact that they still had to pay him $1 million every year.
He was one of their creditors, All right, that was fun. Five Reasons I Hate You, Mets style. All right, March Madness starts back up again tonight. The biggest storylines as data tracked by Twitter. Are we viewing these as the biggest storylines for March Madness? Is this what's compelling us the most to watch or discuss March Madness this coming weekend? We'll go through this, and we've got some great crusty basketball coach quotes as well. That's all coming up next.